Hi, my name's Amanda and I am from New Jersey.
Hi, Amanda.
I'm really glad to be here, and I'd like to thank everybody that invited me and had the time to think about me and want me to come down and speak to you. I've been in Alateen now for 9 years, and I must say that I am a grateful child of an alcoholic. My father is the active alcoholic in my family. My mother is a non-alcoholic, but I believe that she has a problem with drinking. My sisters are older than I have two. They tried Alateen once in their lives and they didn't like it. They graduated immediately. But I continued. When I came into Alateen, I've got to be honest and say that I didn't know my father was an alcoholic. I didn't know what alcoholism was. I had no idea that it affected my life. When I came into Alateen, I suddenly realized that I had a lot of hate, I had a lot of resentments, and had a lot of self-pity. I never really knew that the reason why I didn't get what I wanted when I was younger was because my father was an alcoholic and that we couldn't have those things because he drank up all the money. I never really understood when I was younger because I was always hidden from the alcoholism. Let me explain a little bit about my family. My father was never in my life as a father as such. I never saw him except on weekends, and maybe that was about 5-10 minutes at a time. My mother was our whole family. She was our stronghold. She would hold us together when we needed it, and she would let us be ourselves when we needed it. She was my family, and I loved her, and I put all of my trust in her. During this time when I was younger, things started happening to me. I can't even remember when, but I remember I started having problems. And the main problem I had was with my peers. I couldn't get along with my peers. I had no communication with them at all. I tried harder than normal to be their friend. And a lot of times I got stamped on because I ended up doing things I didn't want to do just because I wanted to be their friend. And trying to get my thoughts together. Well, it never really worked out. I think I had one friend during my whole grammar school era, and she really wasn't a friend for me. She just was somebody that she used because she needed somebody to hold on to. I had a lot of problems dealing with myself. I felt that I was more mature for my age, but I couldn't handle it. I didn't know whether I should run around and play like a child or act like an adult. My older sisters never really had much responsibility in the home. My older sister was 5 years older than I, and I had no communication with her because she was always away and she was interested in other things. My other sister and I fought constantly. We hated each other, and if we could, we'd get into fist fights. I didn't like myself too much, but I didn't understand. I couldn't reason why I didn't fit in. I couldn't fit into the family, and I couldn't fit into my outside life. I always felt like I was the black sheep. And my mother, during this time, was the only one that I really felt took time out to baby me, to love me, and to give me the strength that I needed to carry on to the next day. I remember when I was about 8 years old, I used to pray to God to kill me because I didn't want to live. I didn't know why, but I knew I didn't want to live anymore. I was just, at eight, so unhappy about myself, my home, and the world that I didn't want to go through it and I didn't want to see it when I was 25. I didn't want to see what happened to me when I got that old, or at that time, 25 was old. I really had a lot of problems, and these thoughts of wanting to die didn't get better, they got worse. I used to actually sit down and plan my suicide, you know, and then feel all good inside because I thought, oh, all these people are going to come and say, I should have been her friend, and oh, I should have been more happy, you know, more friendly to her. And it just was insane thinking at my part at 8 years old. When I was about 10, my parents had their final blow-up, and they decided that they were going to get a divorce. And it was at this time, I think, that I realized that there was something wrong in the family. It was at this time that I really decided I hated my father. They got into a really bad fight, and I, like a normal child, got up and listened at the door. And when they were screaming and yelling and hitting each other and throwing things around the room, I didn't understand. But yet, in a sense, I felt, this is normal. I've heard this before, I've seen it before, it's kind of normal. But then it wasn't normal when I saw my mother open the door and my father got thrown out, and she was crying and she was bleeding, and I didn't understand, and I just thought to myself, this is really strange. Well, that night, my mother, she made us all go to bed, and my father came into my room later on that night, and I was asleep when he came in, and when he came in, he sat down on my bed, and he leaned over and he said, everything's going to be all right, don't worry. I hated him. Minnie said it, I hated him because he reeked of alcohol. And he scared me so much because I was afraid that he was going to attack me next, that I was going to get beat. So when he left the room, I just nodded him on. And I said, yeah, yeah, everything's going to be all right. I was pretty smart. I said, yeah, yeah, everything's going to be all right. It's all right, Daddy. Go home. You know, go to bed. So he left the room. And the next day started what I would consider campaign brainwash. My father and I never got along when I was younger. Before this. I was only 10, but we never got along. I always felt he picked on me, that I was never the child he wanted me to be. And I always felt that he resented the fact that I was a girl. Because my father and mother had had a child, and it was a boy. And he was the firstborn, and he died. And then I was born. And I was born more or less as a comfort. At least, you know, I know that's not true, but at the time, that's what I felt. And I felt that he always tried to make me swim the way a guy should swim, to play golf, to play baseball. I remember when I'd throw a ball, he'd look at me and say, you throw just like a girl. And I just, you know, I'd get really hurt because I didn't know how else I was supposed to throw. So when my father started this campaign brainwash, he started suddenly being so nice to me, trying to find out what I was doing with my life and where I was going in my life. At 10 years old, I didn't know. And he wanted to know exactly what I was going to do when I got older and how I was going to decide about this divorce, who I was going to go with, my mother or my father. Well, I didn't know. I decided I'd let my father think that I was going to go with him, but I was going to go with my mother. Well, things blew up, backfired on me. My mother assumed I was going to go with my father, so she disowned me. And she told me that she didn't want me because she knew that I was going to go with my father, and that hurt her more than anything in the world. So I didn't know what to do, and I figured, well, if she's going to leave me, I don't want him. I'm going to let them both think I'm going to go with them. And when I get to court, I'm going to tell them to put me away because I don't want to be with either of them. They're both crazy. Well, it took a really long time before I could communicate with my mother. I also was hurt by the situation because my older sisters believed that they were going to go with my father. They wanted to go with my father because they had been convinced that she was crazy. My father used to tell us that she was mentally ill, that she had problems. Yeah, she had problems, all right, but so did he. And I remember my mother used to tell me that the reason why my father hated me is because he hated her. And I was so much like her. So our family was a little bit torn. When I finally managed to convince my mother that I wasn't going to go with my father, and that I loved her and I wanted to stay with her, things started getting a little better for me. I started to gain a mother and a father again. My mother and my father separated, but they live in the same house. They decided that they'd stay together for the sake of the children until we got old enough to go on our own. I thought, now that I look at it, I think it was the best thing that they could have done. All right, they lost the chance of happiness at that time to ever gain happiness again, or at least until we got older. They decided that they'd stick it out. But for me, it was good because I didn't have to travel 50, 100 miles to go see one parent or the other. I had them both with me, and I grew up with a mother and a father. When I was in about 9th grade, things started going downhill for me. I had been sent away to school, to a private school in 7th grade. It didn't work out. I was always in fights because I still, at this time, didn't get along with my peers and also had gained a very bad distaste for authority. I didn't like teachers. And I was constantly being threatened that they were going to hit me, cut my hair, you know, and I was being beaten up by little kids in school. So I got taken out of this school and got put back into public school. They thought private school would be good for me. Anyway, when I came back to private school, public school, I felt as though I had been away all my life, even though these people I'd grown up with lived right around the street, right around the corner from me. It was hard, again, to get back into the quote-unquote swing of things with my friends. And it took a long time before I could even become at ease with myself to talk to people. When I did, I came to meet a girl that I later brought me into the program. And she was a friend of mine for a really long time before this, but we had split and gone our own ways. Through her, I learned a lot of things. One more thing. When I was about 8 also, I had gotten kind of turned bad. I started smoking cigarettes, and I started learning how to wear makeup, and teasing my hair, and stockings, and this was bad. And my mother didn't let me see the friend that taught me all these nice things. But she was my only friend, too, at the time. But so I continued on with these habits until I came into 9th grade. In 9th grade, I graduated. I started to drink, and I started to do drugs. And I can really say that my whole 9th grade summer is a fog. I don't remember it. I remember bits and pieces of it, but not the whole thing. I don't know why it happened, and I don't know really how it happened. It just did. But I believe it was for a purpose. After my 9th grade summer, I was going to high school. And that September, with the friend that I had done all these nasty things with, came to know the Lord that September. And it was a nice experience for me because I needed something. I had been searching for so long, excuse me, I have a cold, for something that I could believe in, that I could grab hold of whenever I needed. I never felt that my family was there as a person or as a counselor or anything. I never really felt that they were there, you know. So when I came to know Christ, as I call my higher power, it was a nice awakening. I felt like all my problems are suddenly taken away from my shoulders, and that I had suddenly begun life in 10th grade. Not too long after that, my friend that I'd mentioned before, when I was sitting in my room, and we were talking, and she suddenly brought up the idea, you know, talking about my father and how her father was an alcoholic and that she belongs to an organization called Alateen. And like I said before, I didn't know what alcoholism was, and I didn't know that my father was an alcoholic. I had beginning inklings that something was wrong with my father and the way he drank, but I wasn't sure. But when she said to me, "I think your father's an alcoholic. I've known you long enough, and I've been around the home long enough to be able to relate to the family situation." She says, "Why don't you try Alateen for a while? And if you discover for yourself that you don't think your father's an alcoholic, then you can leave." So I said, "Okay, great." You know, and she described it so nice and so great that I thought, "Oh, this is a really nice place to go and meet people and have friends." Well, when I came in, I wasn't sick, right? I was fine. In my mind, I was fine. And the meetings that started when I first came, the first couple of meetings, were nothing to me. I really didn't pay much attention. I really wasn't interested. I was more there for the social aspect of it because I needed those people that were there as friends, nothing else, just friends. Say, "You like me? Great. You know, I'll be your friend for life." It took a long time before I really allowed the program to work for me. It took me a long time before I even admitted or believed that alcoholism was a disease. When I first came in, they said, "Alcoholism is a disease, and that's why your father drinks. He has a disease, and he can't help it." I accepted that. I said, "Great, that's an answer. That's what I want." But it took me a long time before I really believed it, so that I could apply that to my life and situations that were to lead to come. There were a lot of things that I had to suddenly start accepting. My father, for one. I had hated this man for 13 years of my life, and now all of a sudden they told me I had to love him. And then I had to have compassion for him. And then I had to have respect for him. I said, no way. He has hurt me. And he's hurt me more than I can say. And I don't have to love him, because I can hate too. If he can hate, so can I. And my mother and I, at this time, our relationship was getting better. We were getting to the point where I could sit down and I could tell her everything I did and not feel bad about it. I could tell her that I went out drinking the night before, or way back when I was drinking. You know, I could say I had drunk and I got drunk one night. And she'd be understanding about it. She wouldn't condemn me. She wouldn't tell me I was wrong and ground me. But she would sit there and listen and be understanding and yet give me guidance, something that I hadn't really had and that I needed. Also at this time, I had to accept the fact that my parents put all of the responsibilities of the home on me. This is how I felt. My older sisters, by this time when I was 13, were dating and out on their own, basically. And I was home still. I never felt as though I had a childhood. I always felt that when I came home from school, I had to clean, I had to do the dishes, I had to cook dinner. My mother did the dinner too, you know, it wasn't as if I did it all the time, but I felt like I did. I felt like I was neglected a childhood. And Saturdays and Sundays were cleaning days for us. We weren't allowed out of the house until we cleaned. We weren't allowed to go to bed until we said our prayers, you know, something like that. So when I got into Altine, all these resentments started coming out. I started feeling so much more hate that I had learned to push aside. I had a great locked chest in my brain that I could put everything I didn't want in there and lock it. And I didn't have to face those things because they were put away. But when I came into Altine, it started hitting me so hard that all these resentments started coming out. It's like Pandora's box, you know, everything just started coming out. And I started realizing just how much I do hate. So for a long, long time, I walked around with the weight of the world on my shoulders. I didn't want to associate with people because I didn't feel that they'd like me. I didn't feel that they'd accept me because I was a snotty little kid. That's basically what I was. I was a brat, and I was a bully at times. And it was really hard for me to begin to use the program in a positive way. Because everything I had come against from then on, from the beginning, was negative. It was all negative against me. I had to learn and I had to accept a lot about myself and about my family. The first thing I learned in the Altine program was detachment. I left home. It was my first real means of getting away. But anyway, when I came home, it was only for a summer that I'd left. When I came home, then I had to start working on the mental detachment. It doesn't work even today sometimes. I have to keep working on it constantly. But I can say that it has helped. Another thing I had to learn was to keep my tongue in my mouth. I had to learn to shut my mouth. I had to learn to accept my father's drinking. I had to learn to accept his disease. I had to learn to accept his illness. And that he was a sick man, and that I was sick. That took a long time. Because I, too, like most people, felt that once my father would get sober, if it would ever happen, I would be all right. My problems would go away. I would have all the things that I wanted to. I could retreat back into my childhood and catch up on lost time. That never happened. The responsibilities got more as I got older, and I never got to escape back into that childhood. After a while in Altine, I'd say a good 4 years, I started to break some barriers with my father. I started to have a relationship with him that I would have thought 5 years ago, impossible, totally impossible. I went to an Altine meeting one night, and I was talking about my relationship with my father and how I was saying it was so hard to communicate with him, but I wanted to. I was at that point in my life where I wanted to communicate with him. And they told me, well, all you do is you go home and you say hi. And I said, that's it? And they said, yeah. Then the next day you go home and you say, hi, Dad, how was your day? And I did this. And at first I was scared to death. I'd say hi and I'd run away because I was afraid he was going to beat me for saying hi. Another thing I have to tell you, my father also, when I was younger, stopped being a violent alcoholic. He wouldn't hit us. But he started throwing things at us, and that was funny, because one night he started throwing the whole, we have this huge bookcase in our library, and he started taking every book out of the bookcase and throwing it at me. And it was pretty funny trying to dodge all these books while I'm talking to him. But anyway, so that's what I mean by I was afraid he was going to hit me with something. It took a long time, but eventually I got to the point where I could sit down and talk to my father and joke with my father. And it was at this time I realized my father was a funny man. He had a lot of good things to say. And he could make me laugh when I was sad, and he could make me laugh when I was happy. And he could generally put me in a good mood when I wanted. It took not too long after that before my father and I could communicate, whether he was drunk or sober. We had a relationship by this time that was the same. It was a parallel line between sober and drunk. And when I thought about it one night, I think it was after night we had been able to talk and laugh and have a good time. And I sat down and I thought, wow, this is really odd. You know, the program really works. And all it took was hello, you know. And here I am to a point now where I'm laughing and joking with my father. And I really enjoy my father. And I'm starting to love him again. And not too long after that, I had learned a little bit more in the program, and I had gained a little bit more strength in myself. I was able to come to a point where my father, we didn't argue, and that's hard. We'll argue, but it's kidding around arguing. Like he'll tell me, go take out the trash, and I'll say, when I'm ready. And it wasn't, he didn't take it nasty. And what he would say to me, I didn't take nasty. We knew that we weren't fighting, we were just joking around. And even if we meant what we were saying, we were taking it out, we were just throwing it against a wall. We weren't throwing it at each other. And it would bounce off and come at us as, in a happy tone, if you understand what I'm saying. It really was nice. It really was, and I enjoyed it because I could say to him, if I didn't like what he was doing, I could say, Daddy, I don't like what you're doing. And that'd be the end of it. He wouldn't argue with me. He wouldn't try and argue with me because by this time, I had learned in the Altium program to shut my mouth, not be an instigator, and not try and give him any sparks that he would need to fight with. And it was odd because then he turned on my mother and my sisters, and they were his prime source of targets, whereas before I always felt I was, because I was the youngest and I was more easily picked on. All of a sudden in the program, I noticed that the relationship that I had gained with my father was like climbing a ladder. And I had gotten almost to the top of the ladder with my father. I knew I had a long way to go, but I felt that I was at a nice, safe place. And all of a sudden, I turned around and I looked down at the bottom of the ladder, and there was my mother, and I fell right back down. My mother and I, our relationship had been decreasing for a long time because I had been learning my program and gearing my program towards my father. I had to learn to like my father, to love my father, to get along with my father. That was my main concern in my life at that point. I needed him. I needed him desperately. So my program and my life was centered around him for a very long time. And when I turned around and saw my mother just hanging around, not doing anything, I started feeling really guilty because I suddenly started realizing that I had been leaving her out. I had been snotty to her. I wasn't being the child that she wanted me to be. You know, I was being disrespectful and things like that. I wasn't telling her where I was going and when I was coming home and things like that. So I decided that I had to change that. And that, for some reason, was so much harder than working with my alcoholic. To this day, it's still hard to work with my non-alcoholic. I have to live my program every day. I'm not saying I do all the time, but I try. I try as hard as I can sometimes to make up for lost time. A lot of nice things happened to me in the program. About 2 years ago, my one sister that I hated and fought with constantly, I mean, this was like 6-7 times a day we'd get into fist fights. It was ridiculous. Well, she got married, and she moved out of the house. And I think I was 19, 18 or 19, and we still didn't get along. I tried and I tried and I tried and it just, I gave up. That's what it was. But when she moved out of the home, I don't know what happened, but we suddenly became friends. It was like I knew she wasn't going to be home when I got home. She wasn't going to be there when I went to sleep. So I could talk to her now. She wasn't any threat to me anymore, I guess. And after a while, our relationship became really nice. It was like we put aside all the resentments we had against each other. We allowed them to float away, as it were. And we became friends. And she married a guy that I really, really liked. And I remember when I was younger, I used to always hear about my brother Adams. And I used to always be so jealous of the fact that they had a guy and that I wasn't a guy. Jealous for the fact that I didn't give my parents what they wanted and that I wasn't what they wanted. And I was jealous because I wanted to be him. And I also wanted an older brother. And I didn't like him because they didn't have him. They allowed that child to die. This is what I was thinking anyway. So anyway, she married this guy that I really, really like. And he adopted me as his sister. And it was just so nice. He treated me like I was somebody, and that I was needed and I was wanted. And he got to the point where if I was going out with some guy, he had to find out who it was. He had to interview them before I went out with them to find out if he was right for me or not. And he was really protective over me in my life, and I really, really love him. And then my sister and husband had a little son a year ago. And it was like I was blessed twice because I had a brother-in-law, but I consider him my brother, and now I had a nephew. And it was like I had my brother plus. I had my brother plus an extension of him. I had another little brother. And it was just so nice to find that they had a child, you know? It was like, oh. Anyway. My older sister at this time and I really had no communication at all. We had grown away from each other. Like I said, she's 5 years older than me. And her lifestyle was totally different than mine until about 3 years ago. We could suddenly start to relate about things. I'd say it was about 4 or 5 years ago. When I came to know the Lord, she came to know the Lord too. And that sort of helped our relationship. We suddenly became close and needed each other for the moral support for our spiritual gain. And something along the lines happened where she went her way and I went my way, and we lost a lot of our communication. It's getting back now. It's coming back slowly but surely. I find it very hard to talk to her. I don't know why, but I find it really hard. I feel like we don't have much in common, but I'm trying to work on it, and I'm trying to let it happen the way God wants it to happen. And through the program, I can say that I've grown a lot. I don't know where I'd be or what I'd be if I hadn't had the program when I did, and found God when I found him. I really do believe that God made me come to him first to show me one life, and then he gave me Alatine because he knew I needed that. I needed that for my mortal way of living. And he was there for the spiritual way of living. And it's just like, it was amazing to me when I came into the program and I realized they used God. You know, God was their higher power, or they had a higher power, and a lot of them referred to it as God. For me, this was like a blessing because I really knew at that time that he had given it to me and that that was my gift. And like I said, I've been in Alatine 9 years now. And I can say this last year of my life has been really odd. I had something happen to me last July that was kind of upsetting to me. And it started off a chain of events that led me into total confusion and total upset. I was totally depressed. I didn't know what to do or how to do it. And then my sponsor in Alatine kept telling me that I needed something more than Alatine at this point in my life, and that I should maybe try Al-Anon. I said no, because I figured that they wouldn't accept me because I was only 21, wasn't married, and I didn't have the problems they had. Well, it took me to get me to an Al-Anon meeting. Because one day I decided I was really upset and I needed to talk. And I don't know why, but I knew Al-Anon was the place I needed to go to. And I called a woman that I knew in Al-Anon, and she took me to a meeting. And I was so surprised because I had been in Al Teen for 9 years, and I knew the problems, and I knew I wasn't alone, and I knew that every other Al Teen has gone through almost the exact same thing I have. My story was no different. But when I sat in that Al-Anon meeting and I heard those women talking about the problems that I was having, I was surprised. I thought I was the only one. I knew about Al-Anon. I had been associated with Al-Anon people for a very long time. But I guess I had totally blinded myself to their program. So when they started talking about the things that were bothering me, and I hadn't even opened my mouth yet, I was really surprised. So I've been going now for about 3 months. And I do believe that God gave me this because he knew I needed something more than Al-Anon right at this point in my life. I still attend my Al-Anon meetings because I still have an alcoholic father, and I need my Al-Anon meetings. But I need my Al-Anon meetings, too, because they provide a different part of the program. They can, right now I need something more in depth, and I feel I get it from Al-Anon. All I can say to you is that if you have children that are of Al-Anon age, just 12 to 21, 20, get them to Al-Anon because they need it. There isn't one child that I haven't come across that didn't need help if they had an alcoholic problem. I find that a lot of kids that come into the program, their stories are a lot worse than mine. The problems that they had to bear and that they had to adjust to are incredible. And they made it, and they're still standing in Al-Anon. And sometimes I wonder how they made it. Just as many as you, I know, are sure in Al-Anon, you wonder how you made it to where you are right now. And if you didn't have the program, where would you be? So I'd like to make a little pledge for some of the Al-Teens, because they need some help. And they need to get into a program that can help, and it does. It works. So I'd like to thank you for inviting me again, and I hope you enjoyed my talk.